Have you ever had a song stuck in your head, whether you wanted to or not? Just curious. That can be a good thing. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. Sometimes you may wonder, how in the world did that get in there? But based on some tough, challenging news I had received about someone this past week, a short worship course popped into my head that was written back in 1974 by Edith McNeil, and it became popular within the charismatic renewal in the 70s. No verses, no bridge, just a short chorus. How many of you know, LaRon, you got to have a few verses. You got to need a little bridge in there. And then the chorus, but though no verses, no bridge, but one short chorus. So how many of you old timers remember the steadfast love? Come on, let's do it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Come on, his mercies. His mercies never come to an end. What are they? They are. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. It dates us, doesn't it? Yeah, but it still brings the presence, does it not? And as I was sitting there humming and pondering this chorus in my head, it didn't really come to mind readily what scripture passage this chorus actually came from. And how many of you know that the best songs are always rooted in scripture? Amen. When you're talking about the hymns, deep theological meaning in the hymns, present day praise and worship, sometimes they are, sometimes I'm like, oh boy, where'd that come from? But anyway, we want to be theologically sound in our songs. But I was sitting here thinking, obviously, that most likely came from a biblical text. And oddly, this beautiful little chorus comes to us from the book of Lamentations. Who would think? Lamentations. And Lamentations, as we know, is a complaint from the prophet Jeremiah. And we have humorously referred to it before as Complaintations. The title Lamentations actually means funeral songs. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's a lament. Lamentations, it's a lament. It's just five short chapters, but the prophet was grieving the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 586 BC. Yet in the midst of this grieving lament, right in the center of the book, he ekes out the truth of God's mercy. It was hidden just right in the middle of his grievance, right in the middle of the prophet's pain, was a glimmer of theological hope and truth that kept him keeping on. And it's the same truth and hope that keeps us keeping on. Can somebody say, yes, Lord? Yeah. Aren't you grateful for mercy? He eked out the truth of God's kindness and mercy. So let's read this. First, we're going to read it in the NIV, where it doesn't record it quite that way that the song recorded, but we'll hit another rendering where it will. So I'm going to be in the NIV, the 1984 translation, where the prophet said, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will what? Therefore, I will wait for him. And again, the chorus that we just sung, it was penned. You can read this in the ESV behind me, the way that we sang it, saying basically the same thing, the steadfast love. I love qualifiers. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about unfailing love, because there are a lot of definitions of love. Our love can be fleeting. It can be fickle. We as humanoids are moody. We're up one day, down the next. But thank God for some constancy, namely our God and His Son Jesus. Amen. But here He qualifies this love. It's not moody. It's not fickle. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never, I mean, how do you ponder that? It never come to an end. They are new. How often? Every morning. Great. See how He looks up to the characteristics and the distinctives of God versus the predicament. The predicament was bad. Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians. The temple was in disarray. But somehow, by the Spirit of God, He had the frame of mind to still say, regardless of that, I know it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. But regardless, great is Your faithfulness. You've never changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning in You. You have not changed. And when you've got blood in your eyes and the fog of war is going on, you're tempted to create your theology based on your pain. Don't do that. It's just a season. There's a beginning and an end. People say, I'm going through it. Well, great. Go on through it. Don't park in the wilderness. Amen. It's a temporary season. But when we're in pain, just know there is a God in heaven. And if we look to Him and lean on Him, He won't waste our pain. We'll come out better and refined and stronger with a story. Amen. But so here the prophet had the frame of mind to do just that. Jerusalem is devastated. It is racked. The temple is just, it's torn down. But You haven't changed. And I can live on that. How about you? The constancy of God. The constancy. The consistency of the Lord. Now listen to Eugene Peterson's The Message translation. He said, I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and by remembering, I keep a grip on hope. Can you say that out loud with me? I keep a grip on hope. That's a choice. God's loyal, love it, love. God's loyal love. That presupposes there can be a disloyal love, a feigned love, an inconsistent love. God's loyal love couldn't run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. In other words, hot now. How many donut folk we got up in here? Come on. Hot now. His mercy is fresh right now. It wasn't cooked yesterday. It was cooked just a minute ago. It's hot now. Come and get it. You need you some mercy? Come and get it. They're brand new every day. Brand new every day. In perpetuity, His mercy. And again, it's hard to fathom that. But if that's true, I feel like, bless God, I'm going to get me some. I'm going to lean into that. I'm going to look to that. I'm going to build a life on that. The circumstances, they come and go. But I need some unending mercy. I need some lavish love, some steadfast constancy coming from above. You see, they're created new every morning. How great Your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. How many of you know sometimes that's true? That's all you have. But then that's good. Amen? In other words, it's God or bust. It's God or bust. I was reflecting just 2 days ago with that passage out of Song of Solomon where there was a question, almost with wonder. Who is this coming up out of the desert, out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Most people, when they come out of a desert or a wilderness, they can be tainted. They can be so vexed. There's a bitterness there. They lose their moorings. And so it was a head scratcher, but it was a compliment and an honor. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. I tell you who, it's those that have set their forehead like flint. God is good. He changeth not. He is constant. Even though I don't know what end is up. Yes, I'm in the fog of war. Yes, I'm disoriented. Yes, my emotions are all over the place. And even when I'm faithless, he's faithful still. And I don't feel like I'm holding on to him much, but that's okay too. He's holding on to me and he's holding on to you. And that's our confidence. It's not our confidence is not my ability to be committed to him. It's knowing his grandiose commitment to me. How about you? Now unto him who was able to keep you with his keeping power. And so he is able to hold us until the very end. Now unto him who started a good work in your life, he will fulfill it. He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. But we do want to give him our look. And we do want to grant him our lean. We're going to look to something. Some people log in a few years with the Lord and they hit an impasse, something they can't figure out. And they go, well, the heck with that. And it's like, well, sweetheart, there's scripture about trials that but you can go through. Don't stop now. Let the grace of God find you and heal you and release you in a whole new orbit of grace. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. Loyal love. Again, we spoke a few weeks ago about God's unfailing love. I just parked in that. What was that? Psalm 27? And I just parked in it. Different translations have different descriptions. But I just love that. Unfailing. It can't fail. And I was sitting there in a moment of Selah, muse, ponder. Unfailing love. The Hebrew word hesed. The unwavering covenantal love. It's so much greater. Sometimes we think, I'm having a good day today. Therefore, God, I know he loves me. Or I'm not having a good day today. God must not know. He loves you on your worst day. Amen. And sometimes when you feel like you're doing good, sometimes you ain't doing that good. And you feel as if we earn it. You know what I'm saying? It's like his love is just, it's just there. So I don't understand anyone that would say no to it. When we evangelize, it's a mystery to us. How can anyone say no to the grace of God? He goes, I love you so much. I sent my son for you. Won't you come? Won't you freely come? He loves you. He wants to dress you with righteousness, give you a future and a hope. And the scripture says, whosoever will. So he allows people the right to choose as a free moral agent. His grace is there wooing and working, but he still respects their will. I don't know about you, but if I were God, I'd make everybody robots. Amen. But he took the risk. I mean, if you think about it, for worship to genuinely be worshiped this morning, then he gave you the option not to. For it to genuinely be worship, you choose, I want to bless the Lord, oh my soul. If it's truly going to be worship, it's like God is good for his nature, all that he's done. I bring you a sacrifice of praise and I honor you and esteem you. If we could go back and put up the NIV translation, Lamentation 3, 19 and 14. A couple of things to highlight here. Verse 21, we had read this just a moment ago. It talked about the affliction, remembering it. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. So here the prophet did something in the midst of his plight. Yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Yet this, the grieving prophet Jeremiah was forlorn, yes. But he said, yet, this I call to mind. Folks, sometimes when in pain, we flat need to call to mind some stuff. Hello? Husband and wife, sometimes you need to remind your partner. Let me tell you how good God's been. Let me remind you. Roommate, sometimes when someone's thinking wrong and their confession is off, you need to let me tell you, let's brag on God a little bit. You know, let's just mark up. I think you're a little bit skewed in your memory here. But Father has been good. Father has been good. So we need to call to mind some things. You may not want to. May not feel like it. I mean, you know, a lot of things in life we don't feel like it. But so what? It's a good thing to call to mind. The psalmist said, remember the deeds of the Lord. When you do that, there's a bucking up, there's a bolstering, and that's why it's good to journal. You go back in your journal and you read what God did last year. You read what God did the year before, last week, all the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and it's like, that's right. Father has been good. And it cuts the enemy out. It cuts his legs out. Amen. As we remember, as we relive it, the prophet was rooted enough in God to say, yet, I'm forlorn. This is bad. You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting when something is bad. I mean, we're people of faith, but the scripture says call things that are not as though they are. It doesn't say call things that are as though they're not. So it's not like you look at your checkbook, I have no bills, I have no bills. Well, sweetheart, you can think that, but you have bills, okay? Call things that are not. In other words, something needs to change, you see. And so the prophet was rooted enough that in the midst of the carnage that was real, I mean, it was heavy on him. That's why no one reads Lamentation, but you need to, because all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. But even Jeremiah, our man, still had the frame of mind to say, but yet. But can you say yet? Thank God. We need to have the frame of mind to call to mind some important things, some truths. To be fair, we need to remind ourselves of God's character and nature. He wants to act with steadfast love and never-ending mercy towards us. It's already in play, but we just need to awaken to that reality. And when we do, we'll start living that reality out. For as a man thinketh in his heart, what? Not in his head, but in his heart. Usually when you have thoughts, you're thinking in his head. But no, heart, the core of you. As a man thinketh in his core, we walk out that which we truly believe. And that's why right concepts of God are so important. If we project onto God some authority figure we had that failed us, that's not a biblical God. You know, it could be a parent, could be a teacher, a professor, a coach. Maybe they belittled you. Maybe there were words spoken. And we can project that on God as if he's an ogre. And see, that can hinder us not knowing that, oh, he is so whooped over you. He so loves you. He's got your picture in his wallet, in his back pocket. You are his magnificent obsession. You are the apple of his eye. Dear me, he did not withhold his only son. He loves you. He's consumed with you. Right now, the Jesus is at the right hand of the Father doing what? Making intercession for you. He sent his Holy Spirit who's speaking to you now. He's comforting you. He's teaching you. He's helping you. He's the helper. Why? He wants to help some folk. He's the comforter. Why? He comforts you and I. He's the teacher. He's there to lead us into all truth and to show us what's real. Amen. So that when we get screwy in our thinking, we mark back up at the word and we go, that's right. He never changed. That's right. And that's why we got to get up in this book. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, yeah, I'd die for the Bible. That's sweet, but would you read it? You know, that's great. Yeah, but would you read the thing? Everybody say, read the thing. Come on. You say, where do I start? Just start. Just Nike. Just do it. Just get up in there. Amen. Just begin. He wants to act with steadfast love and never-ending mercy towards us. So again, in one sense, we owe it to him to remind ourselves of his immovable intention. He had an intention for Israel that was hard for Jeremiah to see, blood in his eyes, fog of war. But he had logged enough years with the Lord because prophets walk with God. They are friends of God. And due to that secret history in the Lord, he was able to say, yet. Yet. I know this isn't the end. Some of y'all maybe been lied to by the enemy. This is it. Says who? It said about David when he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation, then he fell asleep. In other words, you're not going to the house until God says it's time to come to the house. And even though you may be fighting him, sometimes sovereignly, he'll say, nope, it's not time. I'm coming after you with steadfast love and unending mercy. My mercy is going to conquer you at the heart level. You thought you knew me, but now you're going to see me face to face. Oh, the character of God, the nature of God. Immovable intention. we may need to yell in the challenges of life. I mean, literally, out of our mouth. Sometimes I think we need to hear ourselves say it. When you're pressed in on every side, I think sometimes you just need to say, yet, yet, or but, and get you some word and fill in the blanks. God's not done yet. I don't like it. The pressure I feel, I don't like it. How many of y'all like pressure? Don't like pressure. Don't like the vice grip. But God. But God. Yet, can you say yet? There's a new day coming. Weeping lasts for the night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. The verse reads, yet this I call to mind, I choose to remember, and therefore have hope. I choose to remember. And because I choose to remember, guess what? Here comes the hope. We're a product of our meditations. When you meditate on the goodness of God, His grand affection for you, here comes the hope. We meditate on everything going sideways, interstage right, discouragement. But no, when we fix our mind, here comes the hope. Now, some people are born with a different disposition. Some people are just born happy. Is Jamie Martin here? I go, she's just always happy. You know, there you are, over there behind the wall. Some people, they're just always up. How many of you know not everybody's up? Some people are like, you know, good morning, Lord. Others are like, dear Lord, it's morning, you know. But this is more than that. This is more than just our natural bent, whether you know, prone to a little melancholy or whatever. And so as we think the thoughts of God, here comes the hope. We're giving God opportunity. There's an on-ramp because we have turned our mind toward Him. We have set our face toward Him. Maybe we read a little word. Maybe we prayed a little bit. Some people won't develop a prayer life because they're like, well, I can't pray for an hour. Just start with 5 minutes. He'll trick you. He'll set a hook. You'll get addicted and you'll just feel like I've got to have more. You'll feel like when I'm not in His presence, I feel like a fish out of water. So, I mean, just begin small. And watch what He does. And here comes the hope. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hope for the evidence of things not yet seen. What was creating the hope? What was He calling to mind, Jeremiah? Well, there was a colon after hope. What was He calling to mind? What was creating the hope? The steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. Those mercies that don't come to an end. They're new every morning. You see that colon there? I have hope. Colon. Why? Because of the Lord's great love. We're not consumed, for His compassions never fail. New every morning. And then He had the wherewithal in the midst of the ashes to say, nonetheless, great is Your faithfulness. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. Amen. But God honors it. God honors it. God honors it. That hope that comes, it'll float our boat. This truth is unwavering. But there was something on the human side that Jeremiah needed to do. He needed to remember, and he needed to call some things to mind. Unchanging truths, unwavering truths. But it was on Jeremiah to stir it up. It was on him to stir it up. Also, secondly, we see he did something else. Secondly, we see in verse 24, it says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Isn't that interesting? Maybe you know, sometimes you got to preach yourself happy. He said, I say to myself. In other words, you know, why so downcast, oh my soul? I say to myself, the Lord is he's my portion. He's my friend. God, You've not changed. I don't understand this. But I know You. You haven't wavered. You haven't changed. So he said, I say to myself, David, remember, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Read about David at Ziklag. All of his best friends wanted to kill him. All his mighty men wanted to stone him. What did he do? Bon Jovi knew. Living on a prayer. In other words, the great theologian he is. I mean, this is... He said, I say to myself, God, You're my portion. God or bust. You know, God or bus sometimes makes for the greatest of miracles. The worse off, the more grace. The more fatalistic, the more hopeless, the greater the miracle. God loves to show off. When I thought that was it, all of a sudden God goes, no, I've got another play. You thought it was checkmate? No, I've got another hand. Well, I'm God. I created it. I can say when it's done and when it's not. I'm going to use this for my glory. Your story, His glory. Your story, His glory. Your pain, let Him redeem it. Don't waste a good wilderness. Let Him redeem it. Amen? And use it as a springboard. So don't come out bitter. Just say, I don't like it. But I don't like it yet. Here he said, I say to myself. See what he's doing? He's bolstering. I say it to myself. I convince myself. I remind myself. Wait a minute. Hold on. I was going down a wrong path of thought. No. Wait a minute. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. I mean, come on. We'll wait for everything else in life. Who will wait on the Lord? I will wait for him. Can you hear the faith arising? The hope arising? And God is still contending for Israel today. Yes, they had to have their stint in the wilderness. Yes, they went into exile, but they came home. I mean, can a nation be born in the day 1948? Boom, who would have thought? And his covenant never changed. When he began with Abraham, he said, I'm not going to do it until that rascal Jacob came on the scene. It's like, I liked Abraham, I liked Isaac. Jacob, dear me, what a slippery dude he is. No, he said, for the sake of Abraham, I keep my covenant. I don't take it back. And God has set into play covenantal love with you, hesed, unfailing love with you and I, unwavering love with you and I. When you don't feel it, it's okay. He feels it for you. He's whooped over you. He's consumed for you. And understanding how lovely that man Christ Jesus is, that's what's going to change the human heart. What's going to touch this generation are not just mere platitudes, but it's the unveiling of the beauty of our God and his hot heart toward those that are out of step with his plan. Not while we were getting our act together, but while we were yet sinners. He said, I love them anyway. I love them in spite of them. I've got a plan. The reason I died is because they can't fix it. The reason I saved them is because they can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Oh, I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Here comes the faith. Here comes the hope. How many of y'all like faith? Amen. You like faith. You like hope. Sometimes you got to start with a little exile, but then you got it. But don't stop there. I remember when I first started getting interested in the things of God in high school, and I was given a Bible, but I never read it. Matter of fact, I remember one time riding around with some fraternity brothers of mine, and my mom had given me this Living Bible. It was all beat up because she had read it, and I put it underneath the seat of my deuce and a quarter, my Electra 225 Buick, and I was riding around with some of my party friends, and I slammed on the brakes, and here came the Bible. I was just like trying to put that thing back. And then this minister that I was, I mean, you know, God will nail you. And don't remind me of Job, so I'm doing a little digression here. You made me do it. But anyway, so that happened. And then this guy I was meeting with, this minister, this campus minister back in the day, I picked him up in my car. We were going to meet, and I wasn't yet right with God. Slammed on the brakes again, and a bottle of Kahlua came rolling out. I'm like, Lord, just take me on now. A little coffee liqueur. Anyway, but when I was being drunk, I had been given a Bible. I never read the thing, but I remember I was a senior in high school. I said, you know what? I'm going to be real noble. I'm going to open up these pages. I'm going to read it. Lo and behold, no one told me. I started in Job. It scared me. And I stopped. I said, the heck with that. I said, shoot, the heck with that. I didn't read the end. How everything was restored better. And I just, you know, and again, wrong concepts of God are dangerous. Sometimes we have both feet in midair. But oh, we're dogmatic in what we think and what we believe, aren't we? Oh, faith arising, hope arising. See, Jeremiah was not passive here. He was not passe. He was not conceding here. No, no, no. He was active now and a willing participant in God's plan, God's great plan, his good plan. The backdrop and the background were bleak, yes. Discouraging on the surface, yes. You may have a situation right now going on that is bleak and discouraging. But hear this. Because he is steadfast, you can be steadfast. Let me say that again. Because he is steadfast, you and I can be steadfast. Because he, as we look to him, is faithful, you and I can be faithful. There is a yet in your story. If you're hard pressed right now, it's okay. You're not going to die. There is a yet in your testimony. The Message translation spoke of the taste of ashes. The taste of ashes. But through remembering, keeping a grip on hope. Oh, I love Isaiah 61, beauty for ashes. Remember that phrase? Beauty for ashes. You may think this morning, Pastor, I've got some ashes. It's okay. Let God breathe on it. Let him form something out of the rubble. Again, just the other day, I was talking to someone about Nehemiah, and Jerusalem was devastated, destroyed. You know what the building blocks were? Of rebuilding the wall, rebuilding the city? Burnt stones. Rubble. You ever felt burnt? Great. You're the building block God can use. Amen. Because you'll know this is not of myself. This is from above. Beauty for ashes. Oh, I love that. And we'll close with that this morning. This was the ministry of Jesus foretold in Isaiah and declared by Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth. Let's read this and appreciate what he had to say. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Why? Because he's anointed me. Why? To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to what? Bind up the broken. He doesn't break a bruised reed. A dimmling, smoldering wick he does not snuff out. The anointing was on Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim what? Freedom for the captives. And release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the day of vengeance of our God. To what? Comfort all who, what? Mourn. This is the anointing on the Lord. And to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Hold it right there for a second. Go right back if you would. Now, here's the thing. You think about the carnage when someone's broken. It's like, that's fine. He says here, I'm going to make a divine exchange, beauty for ashes, gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And it says, and then you'll be called the oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. He'll put you on display for his splendor. You were broken. You were without hope. You were jacked up. You know some folk jacked up? Maybe you're jacked up. Maybe you're jacked up right now. It's okay. He can work with us. And he will actually put us on display for his splendor, our story, his glory. Even if it's gory, he can redeem it. Amen? All right, you can continue on. This is what he did. They will, these that have been restored, rebuild the ancient ruins. And they will restore the places long devastated. See, when you're healed, you become a healer. And a lot of us can be wounded healers. It's okay. Best thing we can do for our own soul is to help someone else. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priest of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches, you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive what? Come on, you see that trade out, that divine exchange? Instead of shame, no, 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 double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land and everlasting joy. Come on, somebody. will be theirs, will be upon their head. Come on, everlasting joy. I mean, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. That divine exchange. So if there's carnage there, I get it. We don't foo-foo that. Yeah, that's real. That's bad. Sometimes we got to say, that's really bad. That's bad. Yet, so we're not denying it. Oh, Lord, only you. He goes, oh, well, thank you for calling on me because, yeah, only I can. Good. Give me space to move. Give me room to take you from point A to point B. It may not be a linear line. It may be a little bit like this. Give me place. See what I do. And don't think 1 yard from the goal line. It's like you were almost there. You pulled in the tub. Wait. We got to renew ourselves in the goodness of God. Come on, because he's steadfast. Come on, because he's steadfast, we can be steadfast. Because he's faithful, we can be faithful. Call to mind and tell yourself. Call to mind and tell yourself. Yet. Jeremiah found hope in the midst of carnage due to remembering important truths. Do we need to remember some important truths today? Have you believed a lie? The enemy, the deceiver that he is, the old slewfoot, accuses how often? Night and day. He's a liar. People are surprised when he whispers in their hearing. It's like, well, that's what he does. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, you see. And so we may need to remember some important truths. It held Jeremiah. It will hold us. It held him. It will hold us. It carried him. It will carry us. I don't know about you, but I want a little hope and faith. Come on. I want God to blow. Blow on my heart. Blow on my soul. Well, I've been skewed in my thinking. Help me to think aright. Help me to think the thoughts of the Lord. And this isn't Pollyanna. Again, it's not denial. Life is real. Life is hard. But he's not changed. And there's a yet for you. There's a yet for me. I don't know about you, but that's my story. I'm sticking with it. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise? Come on. A quote that's often attributed to Winston Churchill is, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Can you lift your hands? Lord, we receive grace right now. Whatever we may be dealing with, or maybe we're in the gap for someone else. Maybe we're in a good season right now. Maybe we're on a mountaintop. Good. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. But maybe you're feeling it on behalf of another. Lord, we just receive the abundance of grace for our lives. And Lord, we pray that same grace would flow out to those that we care about, those we're contending for, those we're praying for. We just say, let your kingdom come. We give you place. Let your will be done. Where there's rubble, carnage, burnt stones, devastation, kingdom come. Your will be done. Come, O kingdom. Just right now at your seat, just invite him to come into some areas, maybe of pain, maybe of challenge. Just say, come, Lord, send it. Send your grace. Send help from above. I trusted you a year ago about this, maybe a week ago. I choose to trust you again. While your mercies are brand new. Brand new. Yet, I will remember. Come, spirit of faith. Come, spirit of encouragement. Wash over us. Hope from above that anything is possible, for all things are possible to those who believe. Come on, let hope arise. Lord, just fill us, we pray. Fresh vigor, fresh vision, renewed faith. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. You've never changed. You've never changed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, church.